Please turn with me here tonight to the book of Acts, chapter 27. I told you Sunday about a message I was going to preach. I'm not going to preach that tonight. I think it was Monday. I can't preach that message. There's another message I've got to preach. I was all prepared for that, ready for that. I could have done with a bit more time on this message. Not often I come here and I just go, man, if I could have just had a couple more hours. But please bear with me. It is a message I wanted to preach for about 25 years. Never been led to, never had the liberty to preach this. But tonight I am going to preach this message because of the truth that is held within it. Turn into Acts chapter 27 in our series here on these Wednesday nights is the assurance of salvation. Dealing with this thing called the assurance of salvation, or walking free of fears and doubts, or walking free of having a false assurance where you're going to end up in hell and yet you think you're okay. I don't want you in that condition. Neither do I want you in a condition walking through your Christian life where you're really born again and yet you're tormented with thoughts. I don't want that. And that's why we're dealing with this series. Acts chapter 27, reading from verse 13. Acts 27, verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a temperous wind called Euroca Leden. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many a days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and have not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under colour, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes off the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair from the head of any of you fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Let's pray together tonight that the Lord is going to take bread for us, break it, and give it to us. Father, we take this bread, this living word, the bread of heaven, the bread that comes from our heavenly Father, our daily bread. And Father, we ask for your blessing upon it. We break it, O God, and we ask that you give it to each life in this room. Lord God, you know, Lord God, those who need a warning tonight, and you know those who need comforted tonight. And Lord God, I pray for your divine, heavenly, and spiritual blessing upon this word. Will you break it in the manner and the way that you desire? Nor God, I pray for your divine wisdom. Nor God, that you divide the word of God. Nor God, I want to be faithful to rightly divide the word of God in a biblical and a correct doctrinal sense, in a way that the Holy Spirit wants to apply it unto the lives. Father, I do thank you for your blessing, for your glory. Lord God, let deep assurance come to our heart. But Lord God, let the reality and the depth of your warnings ring in our ears, O God, in a way that would make us to flee from sin and unrighteousness. We do love you tonight. And Lord God, I pray, take this chapter, take this message and apply it to our heart in a way that only the Holy Spirit can. In Jesus' name, for your glory and your praise and for our comfort, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. My message tonight is Safety in the Storm, part 3 in our series on the assurance of salvation. Safety in the storm. Safety in the storm. It says here in chapter 27 and verse 22, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Then in verse 20 and verse 31, and Paul said to the centurion, and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Saints, here tonight, I want to deliver something to you that I've carried for 25 years. I've spoken about it many times to believers in fellowship, but I've never preached on it. These two texts of scripture where the Lord says not one soul shall be lost. And yet in the other text, verse 31, it says, if you leave this boat, you will be lost. How can we join this? How can we understand what seems like a contradiction? That in the same chapter, in the same story, about the same people, in the same situation, they are told there's not one of you on this boat is going to perish. Not one of you. And yet again, the same man, the same preacher actually says, if you leave this boat, we're going to perish. You're going to perish. I believe in joining these two scriptures, we actually join together the powerful revelation of scripture, of the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man, of the promises of scripture and of the warnings of scripture. Since I believe if you can understand what I say tonight, you will understand so much doctrine. You'll understand the character of God. You'll understand the teaching of the Bible. There is no contradiction in these two things that the apostle said. And in my message tonight, I want to deal with this truth. Safety in the storm. I'm dealing with the assurance of salvation and how you can have an assurance, an absolute settled confidence, no matter what you face as a Christian. If you're truly born again, you can face any storm in any circumstance. Saints, let me explain the background to Acts chapter 27. Every time I've read the book of Acts, I come to Acts 27, and suddenly I leave behind the miracles, I leave behind the great preaching, I leave behind revivals, I leave behind thousands getting converted, a new church is being birthed of God. I suddenly come to this chapter, and for an entire chapter and a half, all I'm hearing about is nautical informations, different types of Mediterranean weather and winds. And as I begin reading this, I say, why is the book of Acts finishing on this note? Why is it after all that I've read? I begin reading here in Acts 27. And in fact, as great experts of history have told us, there is more accurate information in Acts 27 about nautical terms, about sailing, and about storms than any other literature written in all of history. Not in the Roman Empire, nothing in Greek literature compares to this chapter. It is accurate information about the weather, about the countries, about sailing, all these things. You'll say, what's that got to do with assurance of salvation? I'm going to make it fit tonight. I assure you, you're going to see where this goes. Before we come to Acts chapter 27, we read in the previous two chapters that Paul the Apostle spent 2 years in prison at a place called Caesarea. During that 2 years in prison, we read about him speaking to Felix, the governor, who he actually made him to tremble as he preached the word of God to him. This great leader, this great governor. Then he spoke to Festus, who was also a governor. And last of all, he spoke to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa, as he spoke with Paul, he actually said to him, Paul, after saying, you're a madman, and Paul says, no, I'm not, a reason from the scripture. And we're actually told that King Agrippa said, Paul, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul had spent 2 years in prison, being judged, being accused, stand in trial, being questioned. And at the end of it, King Agrippa says to the other two governors, this man is innocent. If he hadn't have appealed to Caesar, we could have let him go. I wish we could have let him go. But you know what Paul done? He actually, in the midst of his trial, he said, I am a Roman citizen. Does a Christian use the law? They do. They do use the law. They use the law for an advantage. They're law-abiding citizens. But he actually, in the midst of his trial, said, I'm a Roman citizen. I want to stand before Caesar and plead my cause. But you know, Paul had a hidden motive. He went, man, to stand before Caesar. And like I've spoken to Felix and to Festus and to Agrippa, these great leaders amongst men, and I got to evangelize them, I would love to stand before the Caesar of the entire Roman Empire. And do you know what? I don't care about chains. I don't care about lying in a prison for 2 years. I don't care about storms. I don't care what happens to me. But I do know God's plan. God has a plan that I'm going to stand before Caesar. You see, from chapter 23 in the book Acts, the Lord revealed him, Paul, I'm going to make sure that you stand before Caesar and that you preach to him and witness to him. And from chapter 23, this consumes Paul. And he's willing to sit in a prison cell if it means that he can evangelize these men of power and authority. And saints, that's what brings us to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 opens with Paul the Apostle and other prisoners being delivered to a man called Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. Now these were Roman soldiers. And Julius was a centurion or a captain of this guard. The Augustus band were personally responsible to Caesar. These are special guards of Caesar. These men are responsible for Caesar and directly to Caesar. These are the soldiers who get closest in upon Caesar. And we actually read that they're given responsibility for Paul to take him all the way to Italy, to the city of Rome, and to bring him into the presence of the emperor of the entire Roman Empire. At the beginning of Acts 27, we read an interesting term, and it's us, the little word us. Do you know what that means? It was Luke, the physician, or Luke, who wrote Luke's gospel. He also wrote the book of Acts. And you know, when you read the little word us, that means Luke, who's writing this, he was there with Paul. It's us. We were on this boat. And the Bible actually tells us that. But not only Luke was there, there's another man called Aristarchus, if I can pronounce it correctly. This is a man we usually don't talk about. He was from the church at Thessalonica. And we read about him in Acts chapter 9, when he was supporting Paul, he was found in a riot. He was caught in a storm, a riot, because he believed what Paul preached. He stood with Paul. He supported Paul. And because of that, he found himself right in the midst of a riot, almost being attacked, maybe even killed. The danger was there. Again, we find him in Acts chapter 20. The very same man. And he is now appointed as a representative of the churches to carry a gift of money to the church at Jerusalem, or those who were poor in the church at Jerusalem. But we read more about this man, this same man, and I'm not going to try and say his name a second time, if you don't mind. But in the book of Philemon, in chapter 124, we actually read that he's called a fellow laborer of Paul. He's a fellow laborer. And we also read about him in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. And there he's called a fellow prisoner. He was in prison with Paul. So you see this remarkable character who we can't even hardly pronounce his name, and you won't even remember his name maybe after tonight. But you know what? He's here on the boat. Paul is a prisoner in Caesarea. Now he's been handed over to the Roman soldiers. They're getting on a boat and they're going to sail for the city of Rome. And you know what? Paul has two good friends with him. If you're going to head into a storm, I want to show you, you would want two good friends like these. I mean Christians like these. I mean friends like these. I mean brothers in Christ like these. You see, when you face the storms, you need good fellowship. I want to show you. Do you know the term good weather friends? Have you ever heard the term? Do you know what good weather friends are? When the sun is shining, they're there. But let the storm come and the thunder and the lightning, and they'll be so far behind you, you won't be able to find them. They're going to be running. That's what a fair weather friend are. If you've got plenty of money, they're going to be there. If you lose your money, they'll be gone. That's how it is. If you've got a nice big house, they'll be there at the door. If you're living in a little shack, I tell you, they're not likely to be around. If you're able to give them help, they'll be there. But if they're in need of help, if you're in need of help, you won't find them. You see, Paul is here and he's on this boat as a prisoner under the charge of the soldiers. And in fact, we can actually work out it was about the year 59 AD in the month of October. And I won't explain how I could possibly know that. But winter time was from September to November. And this was that time, and there's other indications here in this chapter about dates, that it was about October time, 59 AD. And on this journey between that we're about to read about, there's two parts to the journey. There's a safe part and not a safe part. The first part of it is by one boat, and the second part is a different boat. We're actually told, at least on the second boat, there's 276 people on the boat. That number is made up of sailors, of soldiers, and of other prisoners that are with Paul, as well as maybe some other travelers. But that's the main core. The soldiers, the sailors, and then the prisoners. That's who are on this boat. Saints, I've got 3 points here for you tonight. And you might say, man, where are you going with assurance of salvation with Acts chapter 27 and a boat journey across the Mediterranean? Well, you're going to see, hopefully. And I pray you'll never forget this message and never forget what I'm going to tell you. Because if you realize it, it'll make you a balanced Christian. It'll make you a happy Christian. It'll make you a safe Christian. And I want to do that very much tonight. My first point here are the storms of Scripture. Then we're going to look at the promises of Scripture. And then thirdly, the warnings of Scripture. But here tonight, first of all, I want to deal with the storms of Scripture. Now, I'm not just talking about a physical storm. This is a true story. It actually happened. It happened in these details. It's a real story. But you know, saints, I want to take the storm that Paul sails into. I believe storms can be spiritual as well. You see, this storm that he sailed into can represent trials that we all go through, temptations that we all in this room face, troubles that come knocking on our door, and testings that God allows to come to our hearts and to our faith and our Christian walk. That's what the storm in this chapter represents. But let me broaden that a bit. The storms of Scripture. You see, there's many storms talked about in the Bible. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 and 25, this is what he says. He's given a whole list of his trials that he goes through. And this is what he says in that list. Three times, I have suffered shipwreck. Three times. And that doesn't include Acts 27. This is before Acts 27. In other words, on the Mediterranean Sea in the same area, three times he'd been in a boat and a storm came and the boat was literally destroyed and he survived. If I met a man who survived a plane crash once, or survived, you know, there's that man who landed it in New York on the Hudson River, and he landed that plane upon it. Man, we're going to talk about that man for all the ages to come. A man never done that before, landing an entire plane upon the Hudson River, and not one person lost their life. Everybody escaped well. But you know what? Paul escaped three times from shipwrecks. It also said, and a night and a day have I been in the deep. Talking about lost out at ocean. Imagine you were lost out at ocean, floating on a bit of wood for a day and a night. You're lost out there going, oh God. I tell you, you'd pray that night through. You'd be calling upon the Lord. Hope there's no sharks in this water. Hope there's nothing else out there that could be a danger to me. But you see, there's the storms of Scripture. Paul the Apostle as a preacher was not a delicate man. He wasn't a man hidden in an ivory tower. He was a preacher. He was a real man. He'd been through terrible storms. He'd seen the loss of life. He'd seen people die terribly in tragic accidents. But you know what? He also saw this spiritually. This is a natural storm, but there's spiritual storms. Paul had walked through many storms, many temptations, many trials, many testings. He'd actually seen spiritual shipwreck come to many individuals. He's seen young preachers that had got shipwrecked. He saw churches devastated by trials, like in Galatia. He'd watched what storms can do to a Christian if they're not anchored in Christ, if they're not deeply assured in Him, if they're not built on the Word of God, if they're not built solidly upon the person of Christ. He had seen all of this in a very real way. Saints, when we begin to look at storms, storms are a very real thing. When Paul and these soldiers and these sailors set off on their journey from Caesarea, the sun was shining, the wind was at their back, everything was going well. A beautiful journey. Within one night, they reached the first destination. They covered 75 miles overnight by the next day, and they sailed into the harbor of Sidon. What a good journey and a start to it. The wind is behind your back. Everything is going well. You start off on a journey. How many people start out following Christ, not realizing they're going to face storms and trials and temptations? The sun is shining. They're happy about Jesus. Jesus loves me. This I know, and I won't sing any more for the sakes of your ears. But saints, there's many who start well. They believe well at the beginning. They clap their hands and say, man, look at the glory of this. But when the trials and the storms and the troubles come, they don't realize it at the beginning. And that was the same for this boat journey. They started well. They started fast. They started in the sun and with calm seas. But it wasn't always going to be like that. It was a smooth beginning, but it would not continue like that. In verse 4 it says, we sailed under Cyprus because, and this is the reason, they were going to sail over Cyprus, but they had to sail under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. You see, not too long into this journey, on the second day, and all of a sudden, here comes a contrary wind. What does contrary mean? It means it's against you, or it's blowing in your face, or it's blowing in the opposite direction, or it's blowing in the wrong direction. And here they are on the boat, and this wind starts to blow against them. It's not helping them anymore. It's not behind their back. Saints, in your Christian walk, you believe in Christ, all of a sudden a wind begins to blow against you, and you go, hold on, what's going on here? I thought the wind's meant to be behind my back. I thought the road is meant to rise to meet my feet, as the Irish say. I thought it was meant to be a blessed journey. But here comes a contrary wind blowing in the opposite direction. So they changed their direction. They had a course said, it's all going to be straight. Straight home, straight on the Christian life. All glory, all perfection. You little realize the temptations you're going to face in this journey. I warn you, young Christians, you can start in this journey saying, this is wonderful, I'm forgiven. I'm glad you don't know the trials you're going to face. I'm glad you don't know the 3 shipwrecks I've been through. I'm glad you don't know about the times I was beaten with rods. I know Paul says it, but I can join him in it in a spiritual sense. The wind at first was contrary to them, so they had to change direction and stop at a place called Myra. And when they're at Myra, they change boats as well. It's time to change boats. It was a bigger boat. It was a more prestigious boat. It was a boat going straight for Italy. The boat they were on weren't. But here they are changing boats. And a lot of people say, if the boat can just be bigger, if we can just have the right crew on board, everything is going to be okay. I want to assure you, you can rely on the ship you sail on. You can say, well, sure, this ship is sailing well, and this church is preaching well, and the preacher believes this, and there's people here who pray well. Well, I'll just sit in here, and you know what? I'll latch onto their coattails, and I'll be okay, because I'm sure they're going to be okay, and they're going to make it, and I'm sure I'm going to make it. God help you, you're in trouble. I want to assure you. If you think, thank God for fellowship and friendship and a church and encouragement. But if you don't have your own faith and your own walk with God, you're in for a surprise. You won't like this boat. You won't like this church when the storms come. You're going to want to jump off this boat. You're going to want to escape this boat when the storms come. It goes further, and this second boat they had to pull in to a harbour. It says in verse 7, and when he had sailed slowly many days. Notice this, the journey is slow. It's not only that they changed direction, it is slow moving. You know why? Because of the storms that come. Man, I thought I'd walk through this Christian life. Man, I just believed the first day. I thought it would be fine. No troubles, no trials. Why is this thing slowing down? Why does it feel so heavy, so hard? Why does it seem like we're moving so slowly? And it says, and scarce we're come over against Sindus, the wind not suffering us. Do you know what that means? It hindered them, or it stopped them, or it blocked them, or it stopped them moving forward. This wind, it not only was slow, or with great difficulty they move forward now. There comes a wind, a storm. This is the wind that's against them, that it literally stops them. You're not going this direction. You think you're moving forward with God. All of a sudden you are stopped in your walk. What am I going to do now? Where is God in all of this? Are we going to be okay? Am I going to make it? When you don't stop, when you cannot move forward anymore, you start asking questions. When the sun isn't shining, questions arise in your heart. When winds begin to beat against you, thoughts come to your mind, and you're more open to temptations and thoughts of unbelief. But saints of God, I want to tell you, the Christian does go through these things. It says in verse 8, and hardly passing by it, they came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens. Aren't you glad for the Fair Havens? There's always little places along the way. And you stop there and you say, thank God I got to Fair Havens. But you know what? Fair Havens isn't the destination. Oh, it's beautiful to sail in there and say, man, I'm glad to get a break from the wind. We're not out there in the sea. What are you going to do? Stay there all the time? And here is Fair Havens. But you know what? That is not the destiny. The Bible actually said they stopped at Fair Havens. And with how terrible this wind was blowing up, it could have meant that they stopped there 3 months. 3 months. And we're told that the Apostle Paul actually said, you know what? I'm telling you, stay here. Stay here for 3 months. Just rest. You know why? You're not ready for the trials. Some people just go, oh, sure, it'll be okay. Sure, I can manage this. Really? You better listen to a preacher the odd time. Paul is saying to that ship and its crew, you know what? You better stay here for 3 months. Oh, no. We'll lose 3 months of time. You better just stay at Fair Havens. Listen to me. Oh, but look, the wind isn't blowing too hard now. It actually says in verse 9 that the sailing was now dangerous. Dangerous. And you had Paul warning them, look, don't leave here. You're going to endanger this entire ship. But you know what it says? They began to listen to everyone else and they wanted to move on. Then in verse 13, and when the south wind began to blow, do you know what a south wind is? It's a warm wind. It's a beautiful, mild, warm wind, and it begins to blow. And supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Now look at the crew. Paul's saying, you ought to stay here at this cove. At safe haven, you ought to stay here. Sorry, fair haven. No, safe haven. You ought to stay here for a period of 3 months. But they are determined to go on. You know, some people have bitten off more than they can handle. Oh, I'm going to keep pushing on. Maybe you just should settle a time and listen and rest a bit before you face more trials and more troubles and before you go into situations where you're faced with temptations. But we're so reluctant to hear. So the boat set sail saying, look, everything is fine. But suddenly about 5 or 10 miles out into the sea, again, you'll wonder how I know that. Well, there's ways we can deduct it from the chapter here. You see, the sailors and the soldiers were under a sense of false security. They looked at the weather. They listened to each other. They listened to the captain of the ship. They looked at all these things and said, I don't want to waste 3 months. So they set sail saying, sure, there's a warm wind. Sure, everything is going to be fine. But they were wrong. They were deceived. They should have listened to Paul the apostle. That's one sure thing. It says in verse 14, but not long after they left, there arose against it a tempestuous wind. That means a whirlwind, a typhoon, or a hurricane. This is far worse than the other winds that had hindered them. Here they set sail saying, sure, the sun is shining. I feel the warmth of the wind in my face. Suddenly it changes and it becomes a typhoon, a hurricane, and it's lifting the waves sky high. Saints, they were shocked by this storm. In fact, it says that they called this storm Euroclydon. It's not new to name storms. We think that we're all fancy in the 21st century. You know, 5 years ago we didn't name storms, or 10 years ago in Ireland. Now we have to call it a name. Angie or Aggie or Mary or something. Who knows what it's going to be next? But you know what? That's nothing new. This storm was a dreadful storm and they were caught in it. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught, notice they lost their freedom. A storm can come to your life. And since you can say, I believe in Christ, I believe the Bible, we're going to find out in the storms. I'm going to find out as I watch you. Every one of you in this room, what are you going to do when you're tempted? What are you going to do when you hit a storm? What are you going to do if you get sick? What are you going to do if God doesn't seem to answer your prayer? What are you going to do if you seem to be held back by a storm? It actually says here about this storm that the ship that they're sailing on was caught by the storm. Now you're not in control. Now this thing is out of control. Losing the sense of freedom. I hope you have an assurance in God, or you're going to get very worried. It says, and it could not bear up under the wind. And we let her drive. They lost their freedom. They lost control. They lost their safety. And the boat is being driven by this terrible wind. I've seen it spiritually. I've seen people in this church caught by a wind. They said, no, no, sure, I'm okay. And I said, be careful. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to wisdom. You know, I've sailed a few of these seas, you know. I've gone through a few of these storms. I know what it's like to hit things you never expected. And it's a shock to you. And it tests your faith, and it tests your assurance, and your confidence in the blood. Am I really forgiven? Is Christ in the storm? Is he in the boat? Is he in my life? Saints, if only we had listened at times. Here's this boat driven by a storm. And in verse 16, it actually says that they lifted up the boat. See, there was a boat behind it, a lifeboat. And they pulled the lifeboat along behind it. But you know what? The lifeboat was in such danger. They had to lift it up and strap it onto the main boat. Now your lifeboat, your security blanket. You know, all of us say, as long as that's there, I'll be fine. And then, do you know what God does? God lets that safety boat get in trouble. It could be money. It could be a relationship. It could be something else. And you go, now your lifeboat's in trouble. If the lifeboat's in trouble, how are you going to be saved by your lifeboat? Saints, there's a lot of wisdom in this chapter concerning the assurance of salvation. In verse 16, they lift the lifeboat up. And in verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps. Thank God for helps. Undergirding the ship. Do you know what they do? They pass helps in round the boat to hold it together. Since things are getting bad on this boat, oh, sure, I'll be okay. Really? Really? You're going to be tested to the core. There's going to come such a storm in all of your lives, the like of which you never imagined. You better be sure you know this Christ and what the Bible says. They actually wrap this boat around. You know why? It could break apart in a storm. So they begin, they put the lifeboat on the boat and they begin to strap this boat so that it will hold together in the storm. Man, we're in trouble here. And fearing, notice they're fearing in verse 16. They begin to fear. Some of you have begun to fear in trials. And you know, you start, you're in a meeting, you're going, oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God for all that you're doing. Then you had a storm and you get afraid. And you're not happy anymore. And you're not clapping your hands. And you're not rejoicing. Fear comes. You know why? Because now you're strapping everything together. And your lifeboat is up on top of you. Instead of you being in your lifeboat. And you're looking at this wind. And there's no sign of stopping. And you begin to fear lest they should fall into the quicksands. This thing gets worse. On this journey. Now here's the sailors and they're looking. And when a sailor, you know, I said some years ago, if you're on a plane and you look at the stewardess and she starts getting worried, you better get worried. And see, when you're on a boat with sailors who live this life and they begin to get afeared, you better take notice of that. When sailors begin to fear, it means that there's actually something to be afraid of. They're saying, we don't want the boat to go into the quicksand. You know what? This boat's out of our control. The sailors aren't in control. The boat isn't in control. The captain isn't in control. The soldiers aren't in control. And this boat is being moved along. And they're saying, you know what? I hope it doesn't go in the quicksands or we're in serious trouble. You know what happens with quicksands? You sink. And it says they strike the sail and so were driven. It then says that they begin to lighten everything. Do you know what you start doing when you get in trouble? You want to lighten yourself. I'll get rid of that burden. Or I'll get rid of that sin. Isn't it amazing how trouble makes you look at your life? Everything's going well. And oh, sure, it's okay. And then a storm comes and you go, oh God, are you there? And you begin to worry and go, what's going to happen to me? And what if this happens? Oh God, are you listening to me? You know, God uses storms to get your attention and he uses troubles to draw your attention. Some people, the only time they pray is when tragedy hits. There's a lot in this city. A real Christian isn't like that. But you know what a fair weather religious person is? Sure, it's okay. Let the storm come. And all of a sudden they start praying and going to church and doing things and making sure they paid their tithes up. Make sure they paid the tithes. Why? Because I feel like I'm in trouble. I'm worried. Trying to pay God off. It's such a serious thing here. In verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship and the third day we cast out with our own hands. Paul's involved with this. The tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. This is a serious storm, saints of God. A desperate storm. It lasts for 2 weeks and they're being driven by this. They're no longer under control. A storm for a day is okay. Or maybe for 5 days. But let a storm continue for 2 weeks. You'll begin to get rid of things and begin to pray. In 1 Timothy 1, it talks about holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck. Do you know certain Christians have made shipwreck because they've let their conscience go and they're angry at people and they don't repent of it and they wonder why they're in a storm and very worried and they have no assurance of God with them. You know, when the storm's there, you're going to see who you are and you're going to see what you've been doing and what you've been saying. Everything is pulled back because God is saying, now let's have a look at your life. God uses storms. He does. He sent one to Jonah. Jonah, where are you going? Where are you going? You're not doing my will. Secondly, that's the first thing, the storms of Scripture. Secondly, the promises of Scripture. The promises of Scripture. Look at verse 21. But after long abstinence or fasting or not touching food, if you're in a storm like this, you're going to be very ill. You won't hold your food down. When sailors can't eat, you know it's bad. I want to assure you, everyone in this boat, they weren't eating. They hadn't been eating. And look at Paul here. It says, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, right in the middle of them. Look at the storm they're in. Look how bad the storm is. And Paul stands forth in the midst of them. And he said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. He's not saying, I told you so. You might have said that. I might have said that. But that isn't what he's saying. You know what he's saying? I warned you about the coming storm and you didn't believe me. I told you there'd be a consequence. You didn't believe me because of a nice warm wind blowing. And he says, I'm telling you, I'm reminding you because now it's important that you listen to me. You didn't listen to me before, but I want you to listen now. You didn't listen to that sermon of warning. But now I want to preach another sermon to you. You didn't listen to that. I want you to listen to this one. What's he going to preach them? Is he going to tell them off? Is he going to rebuke them? They're in the storm. They should have listened to him and stayed in that little safe spot. But they didn't. They went out into the storm. And now they're going to wreck the entire boat. What does Paul preach them? Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. Verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. What? I exhort you, I'm encouraging you to be of good cheer. Paul, we didn't listen to you. In fact, we done everything the opposite of the preacher and of the word of God. What do you mean you're exhorting us to be of good cheer? Do you know the Lord comes in the time of storm? Are you being tempted here tonight? The Lord is one who'll come to help you in the hour of temptation. Is there a storm trying to wreck your boat? Are you there facing the devil? Can I tell you, the Apostle Paul stands up and he says, be of good cheer. Look at you, you're fearful. I don't want you to be fearful. You're sad. You're worried, you're vexed, you're all stirred up about this, you're going, it's finished, it's over, I'm going to be lost, I'm not sure I'm going to make it through. Look at the people who have left the boat. What if I don't make it through here? Paul wants them to be of good cheer. Since even in the storm, I want you to rejoice. I want you to sing the songs of Zion. All hell can be against you. The wind can be against you. Your boat can seem to be pulling apart. And yet you can be of good cheer. Why, Paul? Why would I be of good cheer? Are you stupid? Are you a madman? Why are you telling me to be of good cheer? Listen. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. The ship is going to be lost because of your decision. It didn't have to be. The boat could have been saved. Your decision, the boat's going to be lost. And it seemed like all of us are going to be lost. But let me tell you, there's not going to be loss of any man. Paul stands up in the midst of him. He says, not one of you is going to be lost. None of you is going to be lost. The ship is going to pull apart. The ship is going to be lost. I want to tell you, the storms are going to come. Things are going to happen. Things that we don't like and don't want. But I assure you, in the midst of that, not one loss of any man's life. For, and this is the reason I know, Brother Keith, how do you know? Brother Paul, how do you know? Why are you trying to raise up our hopes whenever you don't know? I'm there in the storm going, will we make it, will we not? I don't think I'm going to make it. And you're telling me to be happy? Here I am scared about being lost and about having my walk with God wrecked. And you're saying, be happy? What sort of preacher, pastor are you? What sort of shepherd treats a sheep like this? You're tormenting us. No, listen to me. There'll be no loss of life. I'm not preaching eternal insecurity. I'm not here when I warn you about things saying, oh, you better walk a fine line. Man, you're in trouble. Man, you better watch it. Man, the devil's going to devour you. That's called eternal insecurity. Saints, I'm here preaching. There'll be no loss of life if you listen to what this book says. What the Apostle Paul preaches and teaches, if you listen to this messenger, there ain't going to be no loss of life. For those who hear the word of God, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Do you know Paul needed to be told, fear not, by the angel of the Lord? Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Notice with me here in this storm, God had not finished with the life of Paul. Yeah. Do you realize some of you is in here? God has not finished with you. He hasn't even begun to work. And here you are worried about this storm. All you can see is the storm. You can't see beyond it. Man, if you had the eyes of God, you'd see evangelism. You'd see Paul standing there preaching to Caesar. And all you can see is the storm. Say, it's all over. It's over. It's finished. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so scared. But the angel of the Lord says, do not fear. And when the Lord says, not one on this boat's going to be lost. I've given them all to you, Paul. Aren't you glad that someone walks with God? Do you know when a father walks with God, it makes a difference? When a mother walks with God, it makes a difference. When a husband or a wife walks with God, it makes a difference. It affects everything in that home. You know, everybody in that home could be wrong. But if you've got one person who knows God, or in a church, if the preacher is right, there could be so many problems. But if there's a preacher who is a servant of God, and who knows God and is willing to serve God, I assure you, God can do things in those lives. You may be scared to death of your life, but this preacher isn't scared. Saints, the Lord has comforted this heart, and I want to comfort your heart amidst your trials and your temptations. Oh, Brother Keith, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. Brother Keith, how do you know that I'm going to walk through with God? Brother Keith, I'm not a strong believer. My faith isn't great. Listen to me. If you listen to what we're saying here tonight, you'll come through this storm. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. Do you know what? I believe what the Bible says, saints. I believe it, and I believe this Bible works, and there's power in this message to save you, and to keep you, and to bring you through the trials, and to save you from the devil, and to bring you through his gold, through the fiery trials. I believe it with all my heart. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Oh yeah, you're going to get in trouble. Yeah, things will happen that you don't like. Some things won't happen that you always dreamed of. But listen to me, you're going to go through with God. There's nothing insecure about this. This is the assurance of salvation. All hell can rage against you. Listen to preacher tonight. You're going to come through. Listen to me tonight. You may be facing all manners of thoughts in your mind, all manners of desires in your own heart. Listen to me tonight. Lay a hold of Jesus Christ. Keep your eye on him. Sail through the storm. Oh, you may lose a few things, but I want to tell you, you are going to come through. And Paul actually says a little later, verse 34, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. We're going to go through the worst storm in Mediterranean history, but not one of your hairs are going to fall out. Some of you have more than me. Some of you have more than each other, I assure you. But listen, in this storm, you may be fearful. You may wonder, are we going to make it? Do you know what God's saying? Not one single hair is going to fall out of your head. You're worried about the whole thing being wrecked. God's saying, I'm watching over you. The hair on your head, you may only have a few, but the Lord said, I've counted them, I know them, I've numbered them, and I'm going to make sure during this storm, not one of them falls out of your head. And yet, what are you doing? You're worrying the whole thing's over. Saints, the second point is the promises of Scripture. Why does God give promises? To settle your heart, to get rid of the fears, to encourage you and strengthen you, to keep your eyes on the Lord. When God makes a promise, it turns your eyes heavenward. If he said it, is he able to perform it? Does he have the power? You see, at the end of 14 days, Paul is saying, look, Let's eat together. Not, we are going to come through this. Listen to me. The promises of Scripture are for you. You know what the Bible says? While I was with them in the world, this is Jesus speaking, I kept them in thy name, the Father's name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Or listen in John chapter 10, and I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, Brother Keith, don't go. You're going too far that way. Hey, last week I talked about falling away from the faith and the dangers of this. But saints, let's not lose the promises. I am not an insecure Christian. Do you know what? I know the Father has given me to the Son.
Amen.
And I am secure. Christ says, I haven't lost one. Not one apart from Judas, the son of perdition. He says, you know what? He says, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you realize nobody can pluck you out of the hand of God? Oh, let's balance this. No, let's preach the promises for a moment. The promises are given to you to encourage you. You're in a terrible storm. And here's the preacher saying, not one of you is going to be lost in this boat. Hear me. If you keep your eyes on the Lord, you will not be lost. This promise is for you. Who's it for? It's for you walking with Christ. For you walking with Christ. Do you love Christ tonight? Do you want Him tonight? Do you have fears and doubts tonight? Then listen to me. Nobody can pluck you out of the Father's hand or the Son's hand. Whosoever believeth in Him, that is Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the promise of the new birth, of the born again experience. You receive eternal life. You're not going to perish. You're saying, you're preaching once saved, always saved. No, I'm not. You're preaching eternal security. Would you rather preach eternal insecurity? I am secure. I'm not there going, I wonder if I'm going to make it. I wonder if I'm going to make it to the end of this journey. Saints, I'm not. You might be scared here tonight. But this preacher, like Paul in that boat, Paul says, you know what? We're going to get to the end of this journey. Not one of you is going to perish. How can you be so confident, Paul? Because I believe this word. I believe the word of God. We're going to make it through. But thirdly and lastly, so we've had the storms of Scripture. We've had the promises of Scripture. But third of all, the warnings of Scripture. Let me finish on this. Verse 9. You see, the warnings of Scripture balance the promises of Scripture. Never separate them. Never separate them. If all you do is live in the promises and jettison the warnings, you'll get in trouble. Or if all you see is the warnings and you lose hold of the promises, you're going to be in terrible fear. You'll be a miserable person to be around. In verse 9, it says that Paul admonished them. Verse 10, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. This was not a prophecy. This was a warning from the Apostle Paul. While they were at that little safe alcove, and he's saying, don't leave here, stay here. I perceive, the word perceive there means experience. I have experience. I'm observing everything. I'm looking at the winds. You know what? I know these seas. I know the Mediterranean. I know what sailing is like. And you know, Apostle Paul was there with all of his years of experience. He covered about 3,500 miles on the sea during his journeys up to this point. And here he is. He's looking out. He says, I know the sea. Do you know, people who have walked with God for many years know how this operates. When we think we know it all, we're on very dangerous ground. People have been through storms and troubles. They can see it coming when it's a nice day. They can see a storm coming saying, you better be ready. No, sure, I'm fine. You better be ready. You better be careful. Paul began to warn them through experience. He's there saying, you want to let loose and go out into the storms. He's saying, I'm telling you, lives are going to be lost. It wasn't a prophecy. It was a warning from experience. He was just given his experience. It says he admonished them. It means he kept repeating it. Do you know what they actually done? The soldier who was responsible for them spoke to the captain and the owner of the ship. And they start talking and they reject Paul's advice. In fact, it said that they almost took a vote on it. And most of them said, no, no, let's keep sailing. Let's go out. We'll be fine. Look at the weather. It's nice. They rejected Paul's warnings. Since it's a very dangerous thing when you reject warnings. When you think it's all going to be fine and I'll be okay. Listen to the warnings of a preacher. Not talking about prophecies, just warnings. You know what people, oh, I won't get in trouble. Maybe you won't. But you know what? This Bible, listen to the warnings. It'll make you more careful. They rejected his advice. And it says a soft wind blew and they went out. Then they got into trouble. Do you realize that during the next 2 weeks, during this terrible storm, they were in a terrible situation. Paul is preaching the promises. He's preaching you're going to come through. He's preaching that God will bring us through this trial. But near to the end of the journey, 2 weeks they've been on this journey. In fact, on the 14th day, and they reach midnight. Do you know when the Passover was celebrated? Do you know what the Passover is? Where they remember the shed blood of the Lamb and being brought out of Egypt. On this boat journey, they'd reached the 14th day, midnight. That midnight. When do they keep Passover? On the 14th day at midnight. That's no accident. After all of this storm, here they are on this particular night. And it says they come into an island and they drop a measurement. And it was 120 feet. Then they go further and it was 90 feet. Then they're there at night time. And it says they threw out four anchors. You see, anchors are to balance you. They keep you amidst the storm. They were scared that the boat was going to be wrecked. And there they are, they put the four anchors down and they wish for the next day, or they were praying for the next day. They're looking for daylight. Do you know what happened that night? Listen to me carefully before we close. As the sailors lowered the four anchors, they went to the front of the ship and they pretended. They're being deceitful now. They pretended to let down the anchor. But you know what they were doing? They were taking the lifeboat and they began to lower the lifeboat. You know why? They're going to escape. They're going to leave the boat. Do you know what God's promise was? Everyone who stays in this ship, not one soul is going to be lost. Stay on the ship. Stay with this journey. Listen to what Paul says in verse 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under the color, the word color means deception. They were deceiving them. And as though they would have cast the anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, Paul knew what was happening. Paul's watching them. Good to keep your eyes open, you know. Paul's watching them and he goes to the centurion. He says, listen to me. Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Saints, let me bring a couple of truths here. If you stay in Christ, you're going to be fine. There is eternal security in Christ. There is security. There is assurance of salvation. You don't need to fear every day. I'm going to be lost. I'm going to lose my salvation. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make heaven. I'm not sure I'll be accepted. Saints, it's not God's will for you to fear like that. You see, if you stay in Christ, you do have security. If you abide in the Word of God, if you abide in the promises of God, you're as secure as if you're in heaven with the door locked. Do you hear me tonight? When you're in Christ, when you're in His Word, when you're in love with Him, you're as secure as the most secure thing on the face of the planet. All hell cannot destroy you in that spot. It's better to be in a storm with Christ than to be in the safest, quietest spot and not be in a right relationship with Christ. But saints, if you leave the boat, you will perish. You see, we know people who say, oh, I'm secure, therefore I can leave the boat. No, it doesn't work like that. We've met them here. Oh, they're in the boat saying, I've got eternal salvation. Listen to the preacher. Listen to the Bible. It says, he didn't lose one, and I can't lose my salvation, and I'll never perish. You just leave this boat, and you'll find out what's going to happen. If you get out of this boat and listen to what Paul's saying, he preached, no one's going to get lost. Then he's preaching, listen, you centurion. Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. There's going to be consequences. Then what did the soldiers do? They cut the ropes. I wish we could do that. And we can't do that in the church of God. But it says the soldiers cut the ropes and let the boat fall. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. And listen to this, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. If you leave this boat, you're going to perish. You're going to die. You're going to be lost. Since if you move away from the Bible, if you listen all the preaching and just cast it aside, if you think you can be in Christ and secure, and yet go out in that world, get bitter in heart. Get jealous in spirit. Become a liar in your comments and conversations. If you think you can say, I will not forgive, and yet you're safe in the boat, you're heading for destruction. You can't say you've got security in the boat and yet leave the boat. You can't say you're in Christ and yet disobey the word of God and the commands of God. The command is stay in the boat and you're secure. The command is stay in Christ. Stay in the word of God and you're secure. You are eternally secure. But if you dare leave this boat, you lose the assurance that your sins are forgiven. You lose the assurance that God has your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you begin to play with sin, and you begin to go after the world, and you set aside the Word of God, you know the first thing you lose is the assurance of salvation. Oh, you can be saved and lose the assurance of salvation. Just play with sin. Let things in your heart. And you know what? You begin to fear. You begin to doubt. You begin to wonder. You begin to get confused. You know why? Because you're playing games. Saints, there's the warnings of Scripture and the promises of Scripture. Let's keep both of them. There's warnings in the Bible. You know, in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, there's five warnings warning you about your spiritual condition. Very serious warnings. Some people say they're not for us Christians. They're for all the sinners or all the apostates. No, they're for you. They're serious warnings for you. And you know what it does? It stops you jumping over the edge of the boat. You know what? You leave Christ. Leave the church. Sure, I don't need the church. Oh, I know the church doesn't save you. It's a bit like this boat. And listen to this as I close. This church is a bit like this boat. It's temporary. It's temporary. It's not your salvation. You're not saved staying in the boat. It's obeying God's word that saves you. Do you know what this boat represents? Temporary things. Things that God uses in your life. It could be a relationship, a friendship, a church, a certain preacher. It could be any one of these things. Do you remember when Lot left Abraham? He left his uncle Abraham and said, sure, I know what I'm doing. I know I'm saved. I know I'm eternally secure. I know my family's fine. He destroyed his family and sent them to hell. He made it through by the skin of his teeth. But saints, he lost his wife. He lost his children. He lost his testimony. All the time saying, sure, I'll be okay. You should have stayed with Abraham. Abraham isn't salvation. Abraham isn't God. But Abraham was put in your life, Lot, to make sure that you walk straight and kept right and stayed away from Sodom and Gomorrah. What about some of those young preachers that left Paul when he's in a prison cell at the end of his life? All of them have forsaken me. Demas left me for this present world. Demas, you shouldn't have done that. He was a young preacher. Paul used to send him out to preach. Now he's gone after the world. What a disappointment. Demas, you're going to regret that for all eternity. You should have stayed with that preacher who could have kept you right. Or what about Naomi's two daughters? Both of them had a choice. One of them says, I'm going where you're going. The other went back to her pagan country. Saints, I'm telling you, that boat can represent many things. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. It's not talking about leaving a church. It's talking about leaving the place God puts you in. The friendships, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the preaching of God's word. Some people have left church. They're sitting at home tonight. They're watching television and they're saying, I'm fine. They're not living right. They should have stayed where God put them. But you know what? They go out, they say, I'm fine, I know God. You don't believe in him. You've cast aside the warnings. And you know what? Terrible will be the shipwreck when it dawns in your life. Saints, this message of safety in the storm, the storms of Scripture, the warnings of Scripture, and the promises of Scripture, don't let go of these things. And as we continue next week dealing with the security of the believer or the assurance of the believer, since we're not running into someone's special creed on this, we believe the Bible, that we have promises that settle your heart. But if you reject those warnings and play with them, you'll get yourself in a lot of trouble. Let's pray here tonight. Father, I thank you.